Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this session on broadening the domain namespace, new TTLDs for cities, regions, and continents. And I'm very happy to have this unique opportunity here to present the first World Summit on GeoTLDs, because never before in the long years of discussion about new TLDs, we had so many conveners or project leaders or managers of already existing or emerging TLD projects which have a certain special relationship to a geographic connotation. The session is organized in a way that we will listen first to three projects which are already in the air of a different nature. As you know, .eu is a CCTLD because it was on the ISO 3166/2 list. And we will have .cat, which was a STLD like .asia. Asia is just brand new, so they started just a couple of weeks ago, and we are very happy to have from all the three existing projects, you know, speaker here on the program. After we have listened to the existing projects, we will have a look into emerging projects. And here we have also a number of interesting projects from the north and from the south. From the north, we have three projects related to cities, .berlin, .nyc for New York City, and .paris. And for the south, we have three projects more of a regional nature, .lac for Latin America, .mercosur for a group of Latin American countries, and .africa. And then we will listen to statements from constituencies, from the user side, from the business side. Unfortunately, we have nobody from the administrative side. I have invited several people from city councils or from public administrations, but nobody was available, so that means we will miss this point of view here in the debate. Anyhow, you know, we have a long line of speakers, and there is no reason, you know, to spend more words for the introduction. Once again, thank you very much for coming. I thank in particular the presenters, and we start with, I think in the order we have it in the program, the first speaker is .cat. So it's not Amadeo April y April, as said in the program, because Amadeo was unable to come, but Werner Staub, you know, will give his presentation.
I felt constrained a little bit behind the table. And maybe that is precisely that is precisely what the essence of .cat is. When Amadeo called me back in 2004 about the project, asking me if CORE could be the registry operator for a future .cat TLD, he mentioned at the same time that, well, he didn't give the project so much political chances. He said there's just so many reasons why there could be people could be against the idea. The question was not whether it was a good idea, but you know, if there would be people against it, so to speak. People just didn't think this was something that should exist. And even in my case, it took me some time to realize that actually was a very good idea. The first reaction was, yes, but there's going to be people against it. We sometimes get so impressed by the fact that something is different. And because it is different, people will be against it, even if it has a lot of reasons to exist. So when it actually devised a policy, we submitted a proposal, and .cat was one of the first TLDs to get all the technical reviews okay. It was basically cleared as being okay as far as the technical policy and business side was concerned. Then we had exactly that problem at the ICANN board. The ICANN board at some points had something new in front of itself. You know, what's that? It is not about an industry, it is not about a country code, which would have been GTLD in the first place. It is about people saying it's for culture and language. And of course, many people suspected all kinds of things. There were people who said and commented on that actually the idea for .cat was to sell it sell domains to cat lovers. It was just, you know, a pretext to start a domain for Catalan culture and language, but actually the real idea was to change the policy thereafter and make a domain for cat lovers. Those who said that were not, I mean, people whose opinions it would usually take lightly. I mean, they were very intelligent, well-known people who said that. But it just showed how much in the international environment don't even think of what would be acceptable or even likely in a certain environment. And basically now, I would believe that people who've seen .cat, who've seen what it is about, nobody would ever believe that .cat would be for cat lovers. And that anyone who proposed a cat could possibly even have thought about this idea. This is about a culture people want to help them to use the domain together. Now, if you look at what happened with the domain after the ICANN board was finally ready, finally came through the decision, okay, this actually deserves to be approved. Even then, the ICANN board was kind of unsure, wasn't sure if maybe this could cause political problems. The fear of causing political problems somewhere may actually be one of the biggest political problems in itself. You know, people who have no idea about what the situation is in a given country, they were convinced that, you know, if .cat comes, then there will be .basque. That's actually the word I heard, .basque. You know, the Basques, they certainly are also very much eager to have their culture, but they probably wouldn't call it .basque. But anyway, this was perceived to be a problem. And even then, it still took time until .cat could actually start operating. When it started, we can safely say that .cat was a success. It was one of the sponsored top-level domains that had very quickly a lot of registrations, and quite astonishingly, it is the only domain that I've seen where there was rebranding, where many existing users who used something else before actually decided to put their content under .cat. And even if right now we have about 25,000 registrations in .cat, it may look comparatively small. You also have to see this is actually a domain where we serve a population of about 10 million speakers of Catalan in various countries. If you count that and compare it to .eu, you get actually to comparable numbers on a per capita basis. And if you look at the number of pages actually available, if you just do a search on Google, you'll find that it's about 10 times as popular as .eu on a per capita basis. So we can certainly say there was a need, and the creation of new content in Catalan, the creation of domains that actually were there not to do something existing but something new, really shows that this answered a need.
Thank you, Werner. I think the interesting thing with .cat indeed, that it has stimulated cultural expression in a language, you know, which is not so popular in the day-to-day life in whole Europe. So what are the experiences with .eu? EU is a CCTLD, so it is a different nature. But on the other hand, you know, it's also a big success story because, you know, within 2 or 3 years, it has now 3.5 million registration, even more. 2.6, okay. But soon you will have 3.5. And probably even more. Giovanni, you know, is one of the motors and forces behind URIT. And so it's up to you now to tell us something about the success story of URIT.
Thank you, Wolfgang. I don't feel constrained and behind the table. I'm just a practical reason to see the slides, if they're going to be my slides on the screen sooner or later. Yes, it's the presentation I just gave you is the second one on your right. Thank you. That one. Yes. Thanks, Wolfgang, again for the invitation in speaking at this workshop today at the IGF. We would like to underline what Wolfgang has already pointed out, that .eu covers a geographical area, but as a matter of fact, it is a CCTLD because .eu is in the famous ISO 3166-1 list of reserved name, so it's part of this list, so it has to be seen, and it is a country code. Next slide, please. The framework we are operating in is a framework that started with as an initiative, an action plan called eUrope in 1999, an action plan promoted by the European Commission to strengthen the information society and to, let's say, fill in the digital divide that was present in Europe. So that the point was that the .eu was one of the targets, one of the objectives highlighted in the eUrope initiative. Then it came the regulation of the European Parliament and the European Council, the regulation in 2002 that set the basics of .eu, and it was followed by a request of expression of interest, and URID was one of the several bits that responded to this request for an expression of interest. After this, URID was chosen, and then it started the process for the signature of the concession contract with the European Commission, and also there was an internal process conducted by the European Commission and the Member States to come up with the public policy rules that were defined and were published in 2004. Finally, we had a Sunrise, and it was in December 2005. The Sunrise lasted some months, and it was followed by the open registration, which they started in April 2006. Next slide, please. No? Yeah, okay. Some major highlights of the context. We are a not-for-profit organization, and this was set in the basic regulation. We have the registry, registrar, registrant model. We do not have a direct registration. The registrar is our, let's say, link with the registrant community. We have those public policy rules set up by the member states and published by the European Commission. We have also a reserved list of domain names, which were provided to us by the European Commission. And it's a long list of reserved names, not only from the European institutions, but also from the member states. We have an administrative dispute resolution procedure in place, as well as a code of conduct for registrars. And the code of conduct is becoming more and more successful. There are more and more registrars that every week they subscribe to the code of conduct. Next slide, please. Those are just some statistics at the end of the third quarter of this year. As you can see, .eu is quite well positioned in the top 10 of the top-level domains in terms of numbers of registrations. And at the end of the third quarter of 2007, there were around 140 million domain names registered at worldwide level. And this is a figure that covers both gTLDs and country code top-level domains. This is, let's say, the numbers for the top 10. So currently, .eu is, next slide, please. Currently, .eu is well positioned. We have now a bit more than 2.6 million domain names registered. The data you see here are the data at the end of September this year. So we have now some updates which lead the number up to 2.6. Next slide, please. What have been the achievements so far? Well, we believe that we have provided a good service, a service that is available in the 23 official languages of the European Community. This is the service we offer both for the administrative alternative dispute resolution procedure and the help desk, which is available in all languages, official languages of the European Commission. We have registrars in more than 40 countries, as well as we have this, let's say, allocation of our offices with a central office headquarter in Diegen, Brussels, and three regional offices, one in Prague, one in Stockholm, and one in Pisa, that cover the different areas of Europe. It is also, quite pleasant to see that the Europeans have started to perceive the added value of having a .eu domain name, and there are more and more companies that are promoting their products, their trademarks, through a .eu domain name. This is not something easy. Last round of GTLDs, they have seen that it's not so easy to penetrate the market. Those that they come at last, of course, it's not always easy to get inside the market and be perceived as a sort of added values. But we are trying to make it, and we are making it in a certain sense. And this is the best achievement we have so far. So I'll be pleased to answer questions if there are any. There are some leaflets on .eu if you like to know more. Those leaflets and other, information materials are available in the Centre boot. Centre is this umbrella organization for European country code top level domain managers. And there is this Centre boot, which is on the ground floor in this internet open space with all the different booths. So if you like to pick up one, please go there. There are plenty of them, both in Portuguese and in English, and they'll be available. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Giovanni. My original plan was to have first all the speakers and then questions and answers from the floor. But if you have a very specific question to the presenter, then, please raise your hand so then we could, have a more interactive way in instead of listening to all the presenters. That means if there is one specific question on just only .eu, then you should ask it now. If we have more general questions about the nature of GOTLDs and things like that, then we can have the discussion later. Just very sharp and clear.
Thank you for the question. The regulation, the basic regulation that is the basis of .eu, establishes that .eu is for people that are resident in the European Union, but registrars can be located worldwide level. So there are no limitations for registrars, but there are limitations for the registrants.
Okay, thank you. And the next existing new TLD, which is a sponsored TLD, a different nature than .eu, is .asia. It is also an interesting story, and we are very happy to have
Charles Mock.
Yeah, Charles Mock, because originally it was Chiang Chang, and I'm very happy that Charles Mock is here now. He's based in Hong Kong and is involved also in the .asia project, and so we have to switch to another presentation.
Hello in the back.
Hello.
Can you switch?
We have to go to another presentation now to .asia.
I don't know how to close this one.
You can close this and we have to get the next one.
Okay, the one next to this one? Yeah.
Okay. Charles, the floor is yours.
Okay,
5 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Charles Mock. I'm from the Internet Society Hong Kong. Actually, I'm not directly with the .asia organization, but because the representative from .asia couldn't make it, so last minute I got called upon to do the introduction for them. I happen to be an advisor for the organization since the beginning. In fact, the .asia initiative started quite a while ago. It was actually the first proposal was sent into ICANN back in March of 2003. So it has been more than 4 years, 4.5 years since then. And of course, the work that started to get the proposal together was started much earlier than that. So it's been a long time work of almost more than five years since then until now that we have been able to get to a point where we're doing a sunrise right now. So we feel that obviously that there's a huge market for the internet in Asia, and I won't read the figures, but you can see that in terms of the internet population in Asia, in terms of the number of searches about Asia or Asian, these two words, and the internet traffic in terms of the traffic generated from Asian countries and so on, it has been taking up a very substantial percentage of the worldwide figure. Now, the thing that is we think special about Asia is that it is actually a natural word. By that, we mean that this is the whole complete word. This is not an abbreviation, not like similar to EU or CAT and so on. In those examples, it was actually an abbreviation. But in the case of Asia, it's actually a complete word. So there are certain advantage in this, being that it is, and we're lucky in that the whole continent happened to be with a name with only four letters. So it is short enough to be remembered and still a natural word. And it's used in everyday languages and so on. These are some of the other statistics about trademarks and the number of words or usage using the word Asia. And these are some of the examples that we envision in future for the global brands, for example, using Asia as a domain name and how they would be using it. I actually give you a very easy example. Harry Potter, the movie. Recently I looked a couple months ago when the website of the movie that they used in Asia was actually harryporter-asia.com. So you can imagine that there are a lot and lots of these commercial brands and even movies or celebrities and so on that would probably have a good use for a name like Asia, that these days they have to use those hyphen Asia or they put it outside of the domain name into the slash Asia and so on. Now they could all use a very simple way to differentiate themselves. And also, I think the motto of the company is from Asia for Asia. So in that sense, we are targeting local companies expanding to the region, inside of Asia region, regional organizations, regional events and conventions, but at the same time, also regional headquarters of multinational organizations, regional promotional campaign, and Asians around the world. Sorry. The organization itself is a non-profit organization, and it is incorporated in Hong Kong, which is now part of China. The membership of the organization actually includes a number of CCTLDs. They are all CCTLDs in the region. They are the sponsored members. So they are like the .cn, .jp for Japan, KR, Indonesia, Singapore, Taiwan, and so on. And there are also a number of co-sponsor members, which are other internet and IT-related and community organizations in the region. But the main members in the board are coming from the CCTLDs. You can see the milestone that we had. The first discussion actually started in 2000, and we signed the agreement with ICANN finally in December of 2006, and we actually just launched the Sunrise recently. Now these are some of our members. You can see all those countries from Vietnam to Afghanistan and Iran and so on, all those different Asian countries. So you can see that Asia actually covers a very wide footprint. And I won't bore you with these kind of vision and mission. This is more important. The core mandate of the company is we want to contribute back to the society. So in fact, in some ways, we look at ourselves as a social enterprise in the sense that this is a non-profit organization. So where does the money go? The money we will be, hopefully when we get the profits and the revenues coming in after we launch our domain, we will be distributing these incomes within Asia mainly for these types of projects, digital inclusion projects, educational efforts, especially about getting schools online and having computers, regional research and development, projects that especially because we see that within a region, a continent like Asia, a lot of times there are a lot of projects that find it difficult. They find it difficult to get domestic government funding because of their multi-country nature. And a lot of times, and then, you know, it's not that easy to get UN funding or whatever either. So we hope that we will be a source for that type of interesting and useful projects. So we're now under the Sunrise process. I'm sure that, you know, this is, you know, won't bore you with the details. But basically, I think the one thing special about the Sunrise project is that we are trying to not only take look after the trademark holders, but also in our experience, looking at other Sunrise experience in the past, we want to make sure that we will also take care of situations like trademark plus generic words or trademark plus trademarks. So, just 1 minute, okay. Okay, if I can get this working. Okay, this is some of the numbers that we have up to date. Because we're still in the Sunrise situation, actually, I skipped over some of the slides. We right now, this number only comes from, doesn't include the trademarks. It only includes the government names that we have registered in the first phase of the Sunrise that have ended. So the real Sunrise process for the trademarks have only started. So those numbers are not in here. So these are some of the numbers of the existing statistics that we have. And here you see, based on the declaration of where these companies are, because the entity applying for the .asia domain names, they have to declare which entity, where they are from. And you can see from the first list that these are the countries and regions that these names come from. And the second part, you will see that actually it doesn't just come from Asia. Similar to the situation in EU, we actually also have a lot of applications coming from people outside of Asia. So that should be it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And what we have learned so far is that we have a broad variety of different forms of organization, cultural meaning, strategies and objectives. And on the other hand, you know, we have always the same element in it. You know, it refers to a geographical dimension. These three are already existing. And now, you know, comes a full new wave of projects, you know, which will learn from the three existing projects and add some special value, new ideas and creative thinking to this process. And so in the first wave, we have already three cities. You know, we had a workshop in the San Juan ICANN meeting a couple of months ago, where for the first time the three projects together presented their visions. It is NYC for New York City, Paris, .Paris and .Berlin. And so first I asked Thomas Löwenhaupt to start with the NYC project for New York City. And I think, you know, for the managers of the website, we have to go to the presentation from New York City.
That's the one, yes. The top one on the right.
The top one on the right?
Top.
Top on right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I'm one of those people that has trouble chewing gum and walking. So between the microphone, my notes, and this turner, I'm going to sit down. You'll excuse me. And I'll probably end up craning my neck to see what's up there. But in any case, I'm Tom Löwenhaupt. I'm shepherding the effort to acquire the .myc top-level domain. And I'd like to start first by thanking the IGF and Wolfgang for putting this panel together. It's greatly appreciated. It'll be very helpful. I'm going to touch on three areas. I guess I have to do this. Yeah, here we are. Okay. One is the historic role of cities and the impact that top-level domains, or the lack of, have had on New York City and other global cities, I suspect. Reconnecting the cities, reconnecting ways we're planning on reconnecting the city and the challenges we have. First is the historic role of cities. Let's see. All right. The historic role of cities is one of proximity and getting together at meetings like this. Try holding it up. And all right, we get together at meetings like this and we network. And we network to exchange ideas, opinions, feelings, passions, products, and services. Networking makes the world work. The graph on the right there. On the right there, the top one, is a meeting like this, where we meet in different places, get together, exchange ideas, and get back to other meetings. The one on the the bottom one is a map of the internet, which I understand is as big as the wall behind me in its full size. My networking map of New York City is this. And what it does is it shows that each one of those spots is people of all shades, shapes, and sizes interacting in different ways. That's the way it was for 400 years. And that picture's going to stay there for 400 years, I think. I don't know. There we go. And then about 1995, we were globalized. There we go. First.com, and then, all right. I don't know, we'll see. It works, okay. And we have the other longer term impact. Did we see this one? Okay, fine. And so what has happened? Yes, change it, please. What has happened is as the internet has come along, city services, traditional services, have been taken over by things like eBay has monetized junk. You know, you used to have a piece of stuff around the house that you wanted to get rid of, and you thought you'd give it to the PTA or the Boy Scouts or the church or whatever, raise a few dollars for them. That doesn't happen anymore. Right now, you look at it, and it has value. You could sell it on eBay for something. So that part of our social fabric has been broken. You used to be able to go down the corner to talk to a priest. Now you can go right to the Vatican, talk to the Pope himself, possibly. The internet is having a huge impact on our city, maybe as much as the automobile. This slide here shows Henry Ford in the early 1920s. He came to New York City and said, listen, I have this great technology, an automobile. It will clean up the streets, the stink that's there. And 40 years later, we learned that this is a picture of the Bronx. One of the boroughs of New York City, and they cut a mile and a half wide street through there for the highways, one block long, displaced tens of thousands of people to make room for this new technology. It was totally unanticipated then. What will the impact of it be in the future of this technology? We really don't know. We won't know for several decades until our researchers have had an opportunity to conclude their work. The role of the city is to connect, the role of the .NYC TLD is to reconnect the city, to reestablish its historic role. Our current networking map will be changed to look like, let's see, like that. All right. And we will better be able to control our future. We're going to have a number of civic applications. A lot of them come out of good domain names, a more intuitive internet, a directory of city resources, identity for our people and organizations, all developed in the public interest. We'll have some civic applications, and I think this here, the Our logo encapsulates what we're trying to do here with more of some of the more advanced civic applications, in that on the left you see the traditional city, the grid of the traditional city is our streets, and on the right is the web. And what we're trying to do is trying to combine the traditional and the web-based cities for location-based services, virtual cities to discover issues, facilitate the decision-making process, and make collaborative projects. We want to create a place on the internet for city residents and organizations to find one another, and not incidentally, a place on the internet where the world can find our resources. We created a not-for-profit social enterprise, Connecting.nyc, to acquire and develop the name, and one of the names. And our biggest challenges at this point is governance. How do we, we're 0.1% of the world's population, and that's not going to change. We have 8 million people living in New York City, each of which has multiple needs. We have a long history, 400 years of history. We have structures, all sorts of institutional structures, and we have a lot of, we have 10 years of lessons from the ICANN in terms of how to manage the very narrow internet resources. And what we need to do is come up with a good local governance structure that will allow us to include the current needs, the needs of our 8 million and moving forward people, into this, into our existing structure using the internet. And we have started this a wiki that, and I invite all New Yorkers in the world to reimagine the city in an internet era. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Another big city is Paris, and Sébastien Bachelet has started this project just a couple of months ago, and as you all know, the ICANN and the GNSO is discussing since years the starting of a process of allowing new TTLDs, and while ICANN has moved rather slow in the last couple of years, you know, the projects have moved rather fast, and one of these fast mover is Sébastien. So Sébastien, please tell us a little bit about that Paris.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Wolfgang, to organize this this session at the IGF. I think it's an important way to exchange ideas and to share with you our project. I will speak about that Paris, but I think I can speak also, I will not say on behalf, but with the help of my colleagues from the other project, because we try to work as close as possible on some topics. Dot Paris, it's an idea with a small group of people and organization who put together to try to work and to finalize or to create a business plan to be able to discuss with a wider community in France, in Paris, with the city representative, with the French government, with company, and with a large range of end users. I would like you, I have no slides, and you have to imagine what could be my slides. And I would like you really, you imagine that domain name space, it's like an house. In this house you have external walls, and the first one it's with a quite big door, where was the first old gtld.com.net.org. Then in 2000, ICANN decide to open a window in this wall and allow 7 new GTLD, both sponsor and non-sponsor, or completely open. And again in 2005, ICANN helped to open a new window with 6 or 7 new TLD. All are sponsored. And or so-called sponsor. In the other wall of this house, you have some doors and windows with where fit all the CCTLD. We heard about the new one, the last new one, not so new now, but in 2005 with .eu. And in this house, we now have 2 other walls, and what we do with that. And one of the idea, it's to use this door with all this project we are talking to you today, because we think that it's idea to have some different city having a GTLD in the next round of GTLD, who will be hopefully open next year by ICANN. And in that project, we would like to embed it within the best from the CCTLD and the best from the sponsored GTLD. But in the same time, we have to know, you have to know that we will try to deal with, or we will have to deal with two legitimacy. We will have to deal with the ICANN legitimacy, and we will have to deal with the French legitimacy. And we will have to answer two RFPs at the same time. Hopefully, the decision at the end from both will be the same. And now I would like to share some ideas that we have with the other city project that could be a good way to help the end users to be more relaxed with those new TLD. And we came with one of the ideas is this one. It's to, if you are looking for a taxi in one of our city, you will be able to type www.taxi. This is the name of the city, and you will get the city from the taxi from the city. If you want to find an hospital, you will do the same, and obviously you can do that, or we will try to have that in different languages. That means that if you are in one of our city, or if you are traveling to one of the city and you need to go to an hospital in whatever language, you will be able to key in www.hospital.thecity, and you will get the answer in the language you asked for and in the city you asked for. That will be a straightforward to get those information. Of course, we can use cinemas as another example, or police, or whatever you can imagine, and we will work on that. And to conclude my speech, I would like to hope that the future candidates for new GTLD will find a place, not just in some panels, and thanks for Wolfgang to organize that, both at the ICANN meeting and here, but maybe even in the ICANN structure within the GNNSO, because we think that it could be one way to help us in doing those projects, but the overall community to have one place to discuss that. And it's a hope, and thank you very much for listening.
Okay, thank you, Sebastian. And now you know the man who has pioneered all this and was one of the very early birds is Dirk Kirchinowski. I think he was the first one who came with a rather developed project about Berlin. Meanwhile, already 3 years ago, and while in the beginning some people said why we need special cities, I think he has really, you know, with his energy, you know, paved the way for which becomes now a real wave. And like always, you know, early birds here have a difficult time because, you know, it takes a long time until they find their net, and in Germany we say the nest. So, but hopefully you will find it soon. And Dirk, the floor is yours to present the Berlin idea.
Okay, thank you, Wolfgang. Can we have the presentation, please? Hello?
Hello, can you again go to the Berlin presentation?
Yeah, that's it. By the way, the presentation is not really connected to what I'm saying, but so it automatically runs. And coming back to Wolfgang, the idea for city top-level domains is not our idea. It's a generic idea, and maybe John Postel had this idea already 20 years ago. So that's what we think about. So my name is Dirk Kirchinowski, and I come from Berlin in the land of ideas, which is a session today as well. In my speech, I will focus on a particular aspect of city TLDs, which might change the way we see cities, at least digitally, in the future. But let's warm up with some basic information. What I think is the world goes city. That's what Kofi Annan said in 2004, and he means that half of the world's population is living in cities already, and in a couple of years, two-thirds of the world's population will live in cities. And this fast urbanization is a big challenge for the development of the information society as well, and for city governments and the local administrations. And there are a lot of organizations taking care of this, like United Cities and Local Governments, for example. And within this realm, the development of city TLDs is, for us at least, a logical consequence. But let's come to Dot Berlin a little bit. Dot Berlin is a future namespace for Berlin, the city of Berlin, and for the Berliners, which make up the city. And it is a project which has meanwhile involved as an initiative which is based on the support of thousands of community members, which do all their part to bring Berlin at the end of the day to life by the approval of with ICANN. When we started with Dot Berlin, we aimed to create a local domain names to satisfy just the local demand from the Berlin community. And in this community, especially the small and medium enterprises are a very big stakeholder, and they will be the economic basis also for the Dot Berlin top-level domain. Soon we realized that the Dot Berlin domain names will lead to a much more intuitive and easy to use way by which administration, businesses and citizens will communicate in the future. It runs. And after visiting some conferences from city organizations like World Cities or City Mayors and Eurocities and so on, and reading some literature on the subject, we realized that city TLDs has further dimensions beyond the creation of just an economic value chain for the Berlin community. The key word the city officials and city marketers told us is place branding. And when we were talking with them, many realized immediately the big potential that a city TLD will have for the city and the city community. Let's see. It's just a domain name for a project, tv.berlin. Others will come. Coming back to the city branding topic, cities today have this need to find a unique destination proposition, what they call, these city marketers call it, to compete with other cities and regions and even nations worldwide on investments, on people, on tourists and so on. And the city officials say these city TLDs perfectly fit into the pattern of creating uniqueness for cities. And if we have Berlin, Paris, NYC, and Paris, that's quite a uniqueness when these city TLD initiatives start first. And you can imagine just the billions of contacts annually a city top-level domain will create when people use it. This domain name as email address at the end of the email address or as website. It's really billion of contacts if you compare it to others. We made some research on this. And by this, the city TLDs are a very powerful tool for city marketing, and they perfectly fit into this modern strategies cities go on a digital side. But city TLDs are also a very powerful tool for city internal marketing to the citizens. And the big challenge for us is in this place branding issue to deliver to cities some ideas and some concepts how these names can be used in a very intelligent way. And I mean I Love Dot Berlin or Visit Dot Berlin or whatever name you can imagine for the city marketing. So having said this, I'm coming back to my last two points. We have two aims here at the Rio meeting for our initiative. First is as a spearhead and front runner on city TLDs, we would like to share our experience we have and discuss the benefits city TLDs can bring to the information society with all the participants here on the IGF, and we are really happy to do this with many of you if you have ideas for a TLD in your or country or in your city. And second aim is to promote the private sector management of the namespace on a global base, but also on a local base. And we in Germany and, for example, in UK, we have with .de and .UK very successful examples where private sector management has led to many, many benefits for the information society and for the people. And we will follow this approach as well. That was my presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Dirk. Thank you very much. This has been three projects from the North. And the good thing with the domain name space is it is an unlimited territory. So that means while in the real world, territory is limited. So that means you can have only, you know, a small number of real estates around a nice lake. So in the domain name space, you can recreate and create a new interesting territory, new interesting lands. And you know, one of the first projects in the South comes, you know, from Olga Cavelli. She is the motor behind the project, which is called .Mercosur, which is not directly linked to a geographical name, but more a political name, because Mercosur is the acronym for a combination of a number of South American states. And you know, I give Olga first the floor because she has to leave again after her presentation, and then we will hear two other presentations from the South, from the Quena.Africa and from Tony Harris about .Lat.
Thank you, Wolfgang, and thank you for the audience for being here. I must apologize myself for this. Things that I can't imagine. I finished in two workshops at the same time, which are overlapping. So I will give you a very brief presentation of this idea of a new GTLD for Mercosur. If you have any question or comments, please contact me. Professor Wolfgang has my contacts, so perhaps many of you know me, so I would be delighted to give you more information. I also want to tell you that it's not my project. I am just an advisor to the government, and it's a project that arised in a Mercosur summit last year in July. Mercosur, let me tell you, is a trade area in between Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, and Paraguay. Venezuela is in the process of becoming a full member of Mercosur, but it's not happened yet. The idea of this area is to benefit the countries that are members of it with the flow of goods and services. That was the original idea, but since last year, the Mercosur has been widened into a social area, which is called Mercosur Social also. The idea originally came to was to establish a new GTLD for the countries of the region in order to have an identifier for the countries that compose the region, the sub-region, Mercosur, that could be identifying the companies that are working in between Mercosur, that could identify companies settled in Mercosur that could be seen from abroad, and also for cultural purposes, as our countries have some similarities in languages, music, and contents that could be all together with this new GTLD. As the idea was, as I mentioned before, established by the four countries in the Mercosur summit held in Cordoba in July of 2006. Since then, we have built a special ad hoc commission to study this issue. My mission in this commission, which I am part of, as I am aware of all the processes of new GTLDs, GAC, and all the ICANN issues, I am the one advising what is going on in relation with the new GTLDs. I don't work at the Mercosur area in the ministry. Unfortunately, the person that is in charge of that left this morning. But if you have any special question about Mercosur, I can send it to them, or I can find the right person to answer it. We are waiting for news about new GTLD rules that will be issued soon and the process, and I hope that we will succeed to have this new GTLD for the region. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Olga. And you know, I move now to Tony Harris, who is the behind the dot LAT, not LAC like in the program, LAT, Latin American. And I think he has also a presentation. Tony.
We have the, it's already up there. Hello. I'll try not to step on Wolfgang's laptop here. okay, first of all, I hope you won't feel too bad about it. We have written the presentation in Spanish because this is a for Latin American community, TLD. But I shall make the presentation in English. These are just bullet points. First of all, we have decided on using the string .lat, L-A-T, although originally we were discussing other alternatives such as .lac. But we've done a lot of market surveys, a lot of research, and the registrant community obviously finds has told us that they find a greater identification with this particular identifier, .lat. It will be a geographical and cultural identity on the internet for the communities of Latin America and the Caribbean, where appropriate. Can we see the next slide?
Hello, next slide, please.
Well, this is just been, we've gone through this with other speakers. The fact that .eu had a successful launching, that .asia is in the successful stage. Could we see the next one, please? Proximo. It's here? Okay. Well, since ICANN, the inception of ICANN, there have been two rounds of TLDs. That's also been covered by other speakers. So basically, we're down to October 2007, where the policy development process in the GNSO has paved the way now for what we hope will be a summons, which will come from the ICANN board for a new RFP. And of course, all of us here are hoping it will be very soon. Proximo. The applicant for this TLD will be the Latin American Federation of the Internet and Electronic Commerce, ECOMLAC. I am the executive director. We have quite a lot of background as far as activity with ICTs. We've been active since 1998, and we have done several summits on electronic commerce in Latin America, participated in ICT4D projects with funding from the ALES project from the European Union. And we have very much a multi-stakeholder focus for this project. Proximo. The benefits of the project that we are proposing will be a regional identity on the internet. It will will enable the Latin American region and cultural community to be on an equal basis with what is happening in Europe and Asia, for example. It will offer an alternative to what we see as a congestion in the domain namespace, particularly in .com, where it is very difficult for many people to find an available name, which ends for a .com registration. And of course, many companies and people in Latin America have got to the stage of registering domain names when most of them have already been occupied by the people who got there first. So we see our string will be perhaps a useful alternative for people who have not been successful in getting their identity on a domain name. We foresee heavy participation from stakeholders of the region. In fact, this whole project was put together with all the Latin American stakeholders who participate in ICANN. we see added value as a TLD. That is part of our marketing plans, which we will not reveal today. It's something which we are working on and would like to keep secret for the time being. We have a definite commitment to ICT4D, and as has been mentioned by other people who spoke before, we will also be looking at ways where we have accident funds to apply them to ICT4D projects within the Latin American region for social inclusion. And we do have a commitment with best practices, which we could translate into, we will be having a sunrise period and we will obviously be concerned with the needs of governments and intellectual property holders. Próximo. Next one, please. One thing which makes our project authentically regional and which we would like to highlight is we have signed an agreement with NIC Mexico, the operator of the Mexican CCTLD .mx, who will be providing the back office in the region and who have an extensive and successful experience as a registry. As a matter of fact, they have attributes of a world-class registry, which we have seen on several visits to their location. Our help desk services will be bilingual, English and Spanish, and we will also have the benefit of a specialized marketing organization targeted to the Latin American community, not only those people or companies located in the Latin American region, but also the vast populations of Latin Americans who live in the United States and Europe. Próximo, por favor. We hope that we will we will be in business offering this service the first quarter of 2009, which is what Kurt Pritz told us in Los Angeles. And finally, we would say thank you very much, and we hope to see you at that time.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. And hopefully it will be January 2009, but I have heard Kurt Pritz saying again and again several dates, so it's sometimes a little bit confusing what he is really has in mind. But anyhow, it's a process in ICANN, and we hope also, you know, with this presentation here to organize some pressure on ICANN that they speed up the procedure, because if so many people are waiting in front of the door, then ICANN should feel the responsibility and also a little bit the heat that they move as quick as possible by respecting all the rules and principles, you know, which are needed, you know, to make the process stable in the future. So, and you know, another project which is knocking at the door is South Africa. And Nick Craner, who was an ICANN director, the first elected ICANN director from Africa in the year 2000 and 2002, was always, you know, in this community and is now back, you know, with this great proposal, South Africa. And Nick Craner, the floor is yours.
Thank
I'm
you,
very
Wolfgang.
Thankful that you are here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm just a convener, but the chairman is someone you very well know, Pierre Widrago. He's been kind enough to give me some prompts, so I'll just scan the prompts and see if I can communicate. Well, there are a number of organizations that are supporting the idea of .Africa. Some of them are also here. I see Afrinik Rashida. And I see also AFNOG. Do I see FTLD? Do I see AFRISPA? So you can see that the idea will be that there will be a company registered in Mauritius who will try and co-locate our activities with the usual AF Star, maybe AFRINIC. And once we are up and running, you know, these groups may then decide to split and proceed. Now, we also have the same idea of wishing to reinvest surpluses in socio-technological related advancements. And at the same time, we'd like to certainly operate a successful .Africa namespace. Now, we would like to accept registrations in the second level, and we'll naturally have some names reserved as usual. And we would like .Afrique and .Africa to resolve same way. They tell me that only the following are permitted to register names in South Africa: organizations who provide undertaking that their registered office or principal place of business is located in African Union region, natural persons, you know, who are Africans, and organizations established by African Union. We believe, of course, that we have to, of course, maintain the normal public kind of best you know, policies, you know, good governance types of policies, and be open and transparent in the process. We are going to have membership structures based on sponsoring members, ordinary members, and domain name holders. This is seems to be a major part of the interest from the community, and it will be a company limited by guarantee. Now, some of the sponsoring organizations are, of course, AFNOG, AFTLD, AFRINIC, AFRISPA, but we are willing to open it to other Pan-African Internet Information Technology organizations. But we seem to have a challenge similar to Dot Paris, in that we also have addressed the needs of the African Union. And we are attempting to do that through an advisory council in which the African Union gets involved in the appointment of the chairman of the advisory council, but the board of directors will be principally the AFSTAR organizations. We also allow CCTLDs to participate and so forth. I will skip this, but we would like to follow a geographic diversity organization structure within the continent, and we've got six regions that AFRINIC and as well as AFNOG and the other groups also follow. So we'll do the same thing. The advisory council is more complicated. One of the chairman to be nominated by the chairperson of the African Union Conference of Ministers, in consultation, of course, with the E-Africa Commission. I'll skip this, skip that. Well, if you have some comments or questions, you can text it to Pierre Wedrago or send it to myself. I'll be glad to respond.
Thank you, Nii. Thank you very much. And we started with Werner Staub and Dot Cut. And you know, Werner is also responsible for a group of other very interesting ideas which are coming out of Europe now, which are not related to cities but to regions. And Werner, if you could make it very short, but give us a final overview about all the projects which are popping up now, which have a relation to regions.
I can safely sit at my space now, because the idea of creating a cultural and language TLDs is established, so we have a spot for it. And in this context, we actually had, just actually as initiatives that came out of the respective communities, people who contacted CORE, and Amadeu basically had the idea of .cat, who now works for CORE, to create other initiatives that are similar but adapted to the local needs. One of them, very advanced, is .gal for Galicia, that is the Galician-speaking part in, portion of Spain to the north of Portugal, where the project is actually so advanced that actually when they, they're of course are essentially ready in many ways, but they were also the conveners of one of the first meetings we had a little bit more than a month ago of a number of initiatives for culture and language TLDs. And these include, for instance, the Welsh, that's .cum for Cymraeg. We have .bzh for Brezhoneg, which is the Breton language in the west of France. And we have potentially also the Basques, which basically were considered to be at some point by ICANN, so to speak, the danger, the whatever, the political issue, which actually doesn't have any of these properties as people might fear. They, of course, would not go for .bas, they would go for .eus, E-U-S, which means Euskadi, which is their language. All of these are culture language TLDs. There's no focus on territory. There's a focus on what we can do for the community, for the culture. It doesn't always have to mean that everybody has to speak or use it in that its respective language. Each one of these projects will define its own its own policy, but the striking thing is that in all the cases, the support in the community for the respective PhD project was astoundingly strong. So actually we're very heartened by that, and we hope to go be present in the new TLD round with a number of them.
Thank you very much. You know, these are all the new ideas or existing ideas, these are the providers. But what the users are saying, you know, and we have two categories of users, business users and individual users, and I'm happy that Dean Zillig from the German Association of the Internet Economy called ECO is here among us, and probably you can say, you know, is this all these new opportunities which are now in the pipeline, is this useful for business users, or, you know, do you expect this should happen, or do you say, okay, this creates more confusion, or this will create more problems?
First of all, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure being here. To answer your questions, yes, we absolutely do believe that there's there will derive a benefit from these new top-level domains. And we just conducted a survey which is able to bulletproof the knowledge. And economical benefit starts with demand. And so we just try to figure out if people would like to have such new top-level domains. So if there's no demand, there will be no business around it. And I will just present in brief the results of the survey. If you want to have the details, I can pass on a paper to you. Just get in touch with me. And the survey we conducted is a representative survey among internet users from the 15 largest German cities. And the suggested answers were specified towards the respective hometown of the participants to get valid answers and to get the people involved into the questions. And the aim of the study was to find out if the new internet addresses are perceived favorably by internet users. And I know we all do believe that this is the case, and that's what we did before, and the study does prove that fact. So close to 84% of internet users think that city-related internet addresses will help better finding internet resources in cities in general. And TLDs like www.cinema.berlin, to mention one example, will help people finding internet resources and offerings as tourists in another city or for products and services, which was stated by about 68% of the participants.
Can you take the microphone?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. Have it a little bit closer because that people.
Okay. So, even the valuation of the URLs is perceived very high. Only 7% of internet users think that city TLDs might be confusing, while 63% find city-related internet addresses a very good idea. The rate is just higher for the findability of public services. Nearly 93% of internet users think that city-related internet addresses will or may help better finding public internet services of the administration, which is remarkable, just to add this. There's even a wording preference in city URLs. URLs with the scheme www.term.city are by far the most preferred internet addresses to find local public internet services, which is quite more remarkable than the value before. So it's no surprise that the wish to register such TLDs by business people is very high. 80% of businessmen would or would possibly register city-related internet addresses, and about 70% would register city top-level domains additionally. So we see there is no substitution to existing domain names or existing top-level domains. I would say it's rather a complementary effect. So the conclusion of this is city-related TLDs are seen to be beneficial for better orientation in private life, business, and internet services of public administrations. And I guess that's what we all assumed and now we know a bit better. And so we believe there is a high business impact in these city top level domains. And that's why we do support that at ECO. It's not our job to promote such or to do such projects by ourselves, since we are a non-profit NGO association, but we try to promote such project, and we wish you all the best, and that these city top-level domains and regional top-level domains will be in the internet as fast as possible.
Okay, thank you very much. And I have asked, you know, Annette Mühlberg, from the former chair of the At Large Advisory Committee from ICANN, representing the individual internet users, although to give you a statement about the interests of the individual users. And unfortunately, she couldn't make it, but she wrote me a paper, and you know, I will read parts of her text. She did send it yesterday, so it's brand new. And the text is, the broadening of the DNS has been one of the key demands of the At Large Advisory Committee for many years. Up to now, only very few new top-level domains have been introduced by ICANN, and many of them are restricted to certain industries and various kinds of limited usages. Because of this very limited and continuously narrowing space, individual registrants and small businesses are forced to create increasingly longer and more complicated names, which often do not meet their actual requirements. One big issue is also the implementation of IDNs at the top level. Another issue is to satisfy the individual internet users' demand for local addressing and local identification. New top-level domains for cities, regions, and even continents offer several positive aspects to improve the situation. More choice and diversity, particularly for the needs of users in the places where they live, are in the interest of individual internet users. They also add to a more intuitive use of second-level domains, thereby reducing complexity and making the net more useful. Thus, geo or city CTLDs provide great opportunities for users. More choice, more identification with their region or city, and better possibilities for local small and medium-sized businesses to implement their own local e-business strategy. And she adds that a local geographical unrestricted domain is also a very useful addition to the existing TLDs for the users. Broadening the domain name space should also result in a greater number of registrars. It offers the chance to build local infrastructures in cooperation with local communities, business, and governments. It is in the interest of internet users to have ICANN not being dependent on the single or few registrars. So it will stimulate competition to the benefit of the users. This was the voice of the former chair of the At Large Advisory Committee. And now we are interested in your questions. I think we have around 10, 15 minutes left for Q&A. And so who want to start with some questions? So I think, you know, I don't know whether we have a microphone in the room. Otherwise, you know, should come probably here to use this microphone. You are first and then you are second. We can do it in the ICANN tradition that you create a queue and then we're working downwards the queue.
My name is Vladimir. Good afternoon. I have three questions, especially to I Love Berlin. The first one is, what's the real necessity to have the domain as a metaphor to the city? Let me try to explain it better. For example, some time ago, we had GeoCities as a place where people created virtual cities to interact, right? And I'm trying to, of course, you are thinking much more time than us about this subject, and I think that you have the, a better answer than me, but I remember GeoCities, and more recently, another metaphor, Second Life, as a place where you can build up cities and also companies. So how you see the initiative that you are leading in terms of comparing that not with the limited space where ICANN is operating now, and what would be the real radical metaphors to develop cities in a sense more ample, right?
Okay.
Okay. I start with Second Life. Second Life might be interesting, but only a few users worldwide actually can use it because of technical limitations and so on. And I think if you create a space for citizens on Second Life, they are absolutely dependent on Linden Lab, which might go bankrupt one day. Because there's a better platform coming up, so Second Life is no solution at all. And coming back to this geo cities, to explain it, that means all these city portals like Barcelona.com or Berlin.com or something like this, which were registered by some businessmen. They provide some space for cities, but Berlin.com or even Berlin.de is a single address which is owned by a single person or the government of Berlin, and it doesn't provide the possibility for each citizen, and there are millions of, and all the businesses and organizations to create an own address. And an own email address and an own website. That's only possible with a namespace, a city namespace like .berlin. That can't be made by a single city portal. And we have paris.fr, and I think the mayor of Paris wouldn't like to have whatever xxx.paris.fr. That would be not possible. And I think in NYC, nyc.gov, is also not open to the public. So, but these namespaces like Paris or Berlin or New York will be open to the public, and everybody has the opportunity to create what he wants to create on a city TLD.
Okay, there was another question. You are here, you are closest to the microphone.
Thank you. My name. Thank you. My name is Vikam Pisani, part of the South African government delegation. I work as a general manager for the .za CCTLD manager. I have just a couple of questions, mainly for the cities guys. Is I think the last speaker raised something about Berlin.de versus .berlin, which I think is an important thing. And the one question is probably also to the NYC person is what's the stance of governments in relation to the proposed city TLDs? Because it raises an interesting question: who has a right to the name of a city? You know, have governments supported those moves? In the case of DE, as you said, if the mayor of Berlin has taken Berlin.de and you come and say, I'm taking .berlin as a TLD, how have you dealt with those dynamics? That's one question. Two is that the city TLDs are raising also an important question about the underlying principles of the DNS, the domain name system, where on one side you want to promote competition, on the other you want to allow people to have choice. You know, they are good in giving people choice, but do we want to have that kind of competition versus the CCTLDs? Maybe in a space of .us or in the space of .de, you would have an argument and say, yes, there is a need for choice there because there are millions of names registered in there. But for a CCTLD in another region, or say in Africa, which is struggling to have even 1,500 domain names, and you come and say, I'll take a seat within the CCTLD and put a top-level domain using the city name of that city, to me, it doesn't seem like it will be a good competition. But I'm not challenging you, I'm simply asking from your point of view if you think it doesn't create unnecessary competition. And then the third one for my interest will be just what registry model will you guys follow? I know the guys from .lat have already answered that question, that they will be basically their technical operations will be offered by .mx. You know, it will be interesting to know what for these cities, what registry models will you be following? Will you be going to your VeriSign or your Newstar and others, or you will be creating new entities to run these registries? Thank you.
Okay, interesting questions. Probably Tom, Dirk, and then Tony. Probably you can also say something to the registries, the registry backup service.
This one works? Okay, good. In New York City, our government was a very early user of the internet. They have a name, nyc.gov, that the government does an excellent job with. The city has a very wide domain space there, but they're not particularly anxious to give it out to the people. So we have agreed. We met with the commissioner of the IT department and the city council, city council member who heads an important committee. And we told them that, you know, we're not in the business of competing with the government, but assisting it in any way we can. So we committed to give them gov.nyc, hold it in trust till they want to use it, or in any way facilitate their use of it. In terms of, I don't know, the question about competition and city domain names, I would think that's on an individual basis in the different countries. You know, in the United States, obviously, as the questioner indicated, you know, it's a big country, lots of different 300 million people. It's a lot of big cities that are ill served by a very busy domain space. So, for the moment, we need a number of cities probably in the U.S. need them, but others may not. So, it's a very local issue, and the model. I would love to try something original. The ICANN. I went to the LA meeting of the ICANN, and they moved the goal line 6 months ahead again. So it gives us time to think about innovative models and such. So I don't know. We haven't come up with one in particular at this point. Maybe someone else does.
Maybe I give also some comments. We involved the Berlin and the German government from the very early beginning, and already the Berlin government and the Berlin Parliament, they had a resolution on supporting regional top-level domains in Germany as innovation as well. So that's very important to involve the governments from the early beginning on it. And we also involved the ccTLD managers. We presented in Helsinki at the center meeting a couple of months ago and said that it might make sense that the ccTLDs early in the creation of the local city or regional or cultural TLDs take a little bit care of their initiatives which are there. And the last question, coming back to who manages the back end or services, technical services for .Berlin, and there we will have a solution where CORE in Switzerland, which also do .cat perfectly, and DNIC work together on having a maximum access to consumers and to provide very good technical services. And it makes also sense maybe for all these small communities to have maybe one registry at the end of the day, because the registrars have the problem to implement all these small TLDs into their registry systems and make it available to the end user. And it might make sense that these many small regional and city TLDs work together on that issue.
Tony, any comment to the model with the backup service?
Yes, I would just say that we are extremely pleased that we were able to sign this agreement with NIC Mexico. And I think that when you're addressing a regional or perhaps a city TLD, the language and the culture and the commercial outlook of your back office provider is really an asset, which is something which we have found in our case.
Nick, can I ask you also whether, the gentleman asked you the question whether this will be a competition to the existing ccTLD, in particular in Africa. Would .accra be a competitor to .gh in Ghana And is Africa, you know, undermining the business of the national CCTLDs? And do you have any competition in this field already, you know, on the table?
I like competition; it's good. But having said that, there's really no competition. It's the relevance is it's good to have a local address in CCTLD, and it's also good to have a regional address, and sometimes good to have a global address. So they don't really necessarily work against each other. So I could see someone, meaning it's more business for namespaces. I can see opportunity in someone registering a city. So if you are looking for things in city, you will find him very quickly. And I can see someone being having a registration in a country. And I can see the same person also having a registration in a region. And the person may opt to also have something global, depending on how he is trying to communicate. So I don't really see competition there. I see lots of.
Just a short word on competition. In Latin America, we have evaluated this very closely with the Latin American TLDs who have their LAC TLD organization. And basically, this is not seen as competition to their national CCTLDs. On the contrary, this project, if it generates adequate funds, will be assisting LAC TLD in their in helping develop the lesser strong regional CCTLDs.
It was also interesting to note that in the Dodasia case, the guy had already left. You know, the CCTLDs are the sponsor of Dodasia, so that's also an interesting fact. Giovanni, a short comment, and then we have the next question.
Yeah, just a short comment to inform you that for those of you that are interested to know a bit more how the TLD are structured, and especially CCTLD are structured, tomorrow morning there's going to be a workshop at 8:30. The title is One Size Doesn't Fit All, and it's going to be held in Versailles 1 room, and it's from 8:30 until 10:30 about, and it's organized by the regional organizations. And the purpose is to show that there are different models to respond to the local needs, and I think it's useful for those of you that like to learn more about this field. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And get your shuttle bus 7 o'clock in the morning to come to the workshop at 8:30. So there was another question. First you and then Janet.
So I guess my question is to educate myself. One of the things which was not directly addressed by the panel is what is ICANN looking for in a proposal from a city, especially, or a cultural community, to accept a proposal versus not accept a proposal. I'll give you a couple of examples, and I'd like to get your feedback on what are the policy issues involved. So, for example, there's a small town in US, it's called London, and obviously there's a big city, London, in UK, and if both of them apply for a domain name, which one would get it from an ICANN's perspective? If the bigger one's going to get it, then isn't that leading to an accessibility problem for smaller groups? Another example could be, for example, Basque in Spain can have a group, but what about a smaller community living in Himalayas, which has got 5,000 speakers? Could that get its own cultural domain name as well? Is that something possible?
Okay, before, we are already over time, but you know, probably Janet can ask the question and then you have the final say on the podium.
Thank you. I have a more general question that concerns actually all potential GOTLDs, and that has to do with property rights. What I noticed in the course of the introduction of new TLDs that more and more governments claim rights into names referring to regions, cities, and so on. Do you reg- regard this as a general obstacle to the introduction of GOTLDs, or do you think that doesn't really matter?
Okay, so that is now the final chance to raise the voice, and I would go from the right side to the left. So Tony, everybody who wants to say a final word, you know, this is the moment, and then we come to a close.
Yes, to what's just being said, I think that depends on what the TLD chosen is. If you choose a string which is like, let's say, OAS, Organization of American States, you could very well find some objections to that. But in the case of, for example, .Africa, well, I don't think that belongs to any intergovernmental organization, or there would be any real legal or administrative barrier to do it. As to the question of the other gentleman who was talking about very small communities and would they have any opportunity in this, I think that was the sense of what he was saying. There are no limitations to presenting an application other than the fact that you have to pay a fee when you do so. But in the policy development process, which we recently concluded in the GNSO, there is a clause, which I hope will remain there, which says that disenfranchised applicants may have consideration as to what the sign-up fee would be or the application fee would be.
As for the first question regarding the ICON process, I'm sure I'm quite confident that those issues will be properly addressed at the time of the next round of GTLDs. And as for the reserve names by cities or, you know, this kind of member states, whatever, as for .eu, our life was quite simplified in this sense, because we were given already a certain list of domain names to be considered reserved. Thanks.
We are the first to address the issue with smaller communities having the same name, and we think especially these small communities like Paris in Texas, for example, they will get a lot of attention on Paris TLD. Sure, Paris will benefit most in France, but comparable to the size of that small community, they will be in the focus of the world afterwards. So that's a nice thing which gives attention to these small communities. And we will involve all the Berlins in the world, which we can find as well in our TLD. And coming back to Jeanette, it's always important to involve the governments from the beginning and to make a good proposal on your local city or regional TLD. And the laws, the local laws, are so different from country to country that it's hard to find out what's the best way. I think the others can say also some words on it.
At the LA ICANN meeting, the president, Paul Toomey, mentioned that there has been an enormously growth of interest in the part of the TLD issuing process, the new process that they've been going and developing for the past several years. And I made a comment there that I thought it was important that they set aside a part of the process to address the needs of those entities that have been damaged by the existing structure, and by that I refer to cities that I think, I don't know if my slides got the impression across there, but we've had a lot of difficulty communicating in our city because of these globalization by dot-coms and what all. And it would be good if there are going to be if every CEO in the country decides that they want a product or a company name for or around the globe, actually, not the country, but everybody around the globe, if they're going to get 1,000 applications for new TLDs at the ICANN, I would hate to have cities who are in desperate need of them, to my impression, have to wait somewhere in that process to have their applications addressed. Additionally, I think the fees for cities should be considered different from corporations, that there's a different need being addressed. Thank you.
Yeah, just a word about the claim of ownership in the name. Actually, I think it's a misunderstanding. Cities were discriminated against in the domain name introductions of 2001, where they were suddenly told, no, you don't have a brand name, therefore you cannot protect your city name in the specific .info, for instance. I had a couple of cities who called me, and they said, sorry, there's no way for you to be in the Sunrise.
So what we see now is a reaction to that. It's a totally different problem. Actually, why are cities normally not available as they cannot protect their name as a brand? Because it's usually prohibited in their own country to have a city itself as a brand. You cannot have it because precisely the city name is supposed to be shared. That's how the city TLE does. It shares it. It's probably one of the best ways.
They protected it, branded it somewhere else. I mean, in another country, they could get Barcelona.com or Barcelona protected as a brand, but not in their own country.
Like Madonna.com was registered as a trademark under Tunisian trademark law.
Oops. Okay, I guess my comment is that we believe in government participation in our process. We would like them to also commit something to the process. After all, we are non-profit and we're doing it for everyone. So very early, we are asking them.
Microphone.
Very early, we are asking the African Union to be participating at least in our policy process and even appoint a chairman of that process, but not the board. The board is a purely technical, and so we are preserving that. The last comment that I'd like to make is that we're also interested in acquiring the technical know-how of doing the tech registry operation. And so we'll be looking for partners, and at this point I'm reaching out to some of my known friends in the community, that we're looking for a partner who would, over a period of time, transfer that know-how to a non-profit organization on the continent to be able to carry it forward to help other CCTLDs and other operations that will come in the future.
Okay, thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you. What ICANN is looking for, it's a very good question, but ICANN, it's not somebody. Then the answer couldn't be ICANN wants this or this. As it was already told you, that the GNSO, and GNSO it's not one single person, it's a very large group of different stakeholders who came together and who discussed that. It will be discussed at the board level, and I will be able to say what I would like to have as future TLDs. It's very important that you individually, or you as company, or you as a group of people, or as a citizen, or whatever, you say your word in that discussion. It's very, very important. If not, it's just some single person, but it's not yet the case. About that Paris, my friend Dirk already answered, we will try to work, of course, with the other Paris in the world and see how we can work together. It will be a disaster if there are competition about, we have the same name, we have to share, we have to see how we can work together. And I would like to take this opportunity to just say a few words about the next ICANN meeting will be in New Delhi, but the next one in end of June will be in Paris. And the day before, we are organizing one meeting called Eugenie, and it will be one-day meeting. And we are thinking to invite all the TLD candidates just to come to make a very short speech about what is their intention, just to allow a lot of people and a lot of candidates to come and to show that there are candidates. Because today, it's a good step forward because there are more and more candidates who are willing to speak about their project. But we would like to have all the project coming, and just to say a few words, in Paris, the 20th of June, it will be in Meridien Montparnasse, as the ICANN meeting will be organized in the same venue. Thank you very much.
And in the ICANN meeting, there will be also a big user summit, which is also organized by Sebastian, so a big show, reserved the dates in June in Paris. And the last word goes to the user, to the business users. Very brief.
Since ICANN's work is based on multi-stakeholdership, it's our job to convince the ICANN to fasten its processes to implement new top-level domains, and I guess we're on a good way to do so. Regards the property ownership, I believe the internet is based on freedom, and we shouldn't restrict the users too much.
Thank you very much. That was the first GOTLD summit in the world. It was one of the shortest summits in the history of world summits. So it was just 90 minutes or 98 minutes or 8 minutes over time. Let me thank you, all the panelists, and let me thank you also the audience, you know, for the patience and for the good questions. And see you next time in cyberspace with all these new territories, you know, with cities and regions and continents. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
And Wolfgang, we need to thank you, because if we are here, it's because you organize all that. Thank you very much, Wolfgang.